Well, it is New Year's. It's that time again when we kind of look back at our lives and we assess where we've been. You probably have already done some of this, and January means to look forward and to look back. And I'm sure you've done some of this and looked back at your life and said, I had a pretty good year, not so much, or something along those lines. And maybe you're looking at this year and looking and making some plans on how to improve your life. Maybe exercise. How many people said they're going to exercise more this year? 3, 4, yeah, me too. And lose some weight, exercise and lose some weight. Do it every year, do it every year. And I'm gonna do it. Just as soon as it warms up and it's 72 degrees, I'm gonna get right out there. But anyway, but I'm here to tell you today that we need to be examining our lives, and it's very important that we do this. And there's ways to do this besides just generally. Now, what I've been talking about so far is just how we generally look at our lives. Nothing wrong with that, but there's no depth to that. So you got to start assessing your life, and sometimes it takes a hard look at who you are. Now, most of you know that we just came back from our vacation, and we went with the Fishers, and we were on this boat, and this boat was a 44-foot Caribbean cruise yacht. Did I get it right, Scott?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay, sounds good. Before we went, we were told, Kathy and I and all of us were told, don't pack a lot. Now, just don't pack a lot. Once you get there, it's hard. And I thought, well, there must not be a lot of storage, probably a real small walk-in closet. But I'm sure they have a walk-in closet, but it's probably just real small. And so Kathy and I talked, and we tried to pack not a lot, but, you know, I wasn't sure how she was doing, but I thought I needed everything. I thought I had needed everything that I took. And so when I got there, I noticed that I was losing everything. I couldn't find anything. I thought, I'm going senile. And so I worried about it. I thought, I'm really worried about myself. I was examining this problem I was having. And I went and told Kathy about it because I didn't want anybody else to know that I was going senile. And Kathy was going senile too. It was wonderful. It was perfect. She said, I can't find anything either. And I thought, well, what in the world's the problem? I talked to Scott and Chris. They hadn't lost anything. They hadn't lost anything. And so what I found out about myself and about women, and it reminded me, is that when you tell women, don't bring very much, we just can't quite understand those words. When you tell us, you can't bring but 4 t-shirts, we don't hear that. And there is no way, and we could have heard it 1,000 times, and we still, women just can't not bring their favorite stuff, and we got a lot of favorite stuff. You may need something. And so that is one way of examining it. You've got to examine yourself so that you can change these bad habits. And so I thought about it later. I thought, I wished I hadn't brought half of this stuff, because I kept losing stuff, and you did too, didn't you, Kathy? And Scott and Chris, they just kept up with everything because only brought 4 things, not much to keep up with. And that's just the difference between men and women, period. Women can't pack, and men are better at it. But so today I want to just look at how we really look at ourselves and examine ourselves and how this is a spiritual practice. Again, I'm not talking about generalizing our lives. Nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about doing this daily look at our lives, and we're going to break it down. And there's a man named Ignatius of Loyola, and he brought this spiritual practice called examine, E-X-A-M-N, to light. And I discovered this when I was at the VA, and it's interesting because the patron saint of the soldiers is who he was. He was a patron saint of the soldiers because he was in the military for some time. And so during that time, he had several things that happened to him. One of the things, he was in the military, and he got hit by a cannonball. Now, if you don't think a cannonball can do damage to you, it not only tore up his left leg, but tore up his right leg. And during that time, he was in the hospital in great pain for over a year. And if you've ever been laid up for a while, and I know Ludi's been laid up for a while, she probably can relate to him. He couldn't do anything. He was kind of a sinner. He was a womanizer. So he couldn't do anything like that. And the only book that was in his hospital room was the Bible. So he read the Bible every day for a year, and he had a conversion experience. And from this conversion experience, he came up with this type of prayer and meditation practice that he called examine. And this was practiced by many other people. Jesus certainly did something very similar to that, and so did Paul, who wrote what we are about to hear. But I'm going to have Chris come on up and read from Colossians 1, 9 through 14. There's many places in the Bible that tell us to examine our lives, ourselves, and so this is one of those readings.
For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Now this scripture, along with some others that we're going to be talking about later, talk about looking at ourselves and relying on God to help us interpret. And through God's grace and through the Holy Spirit, we use God, not just ourselves, to determine who we are as people. But, you know, we go to the doctor every year. Does everybody get a checkup? Like once a year you go to the doctor? Go to the doctor, you get a checkup every year, and you find out if you're doing okay. I just went, and mine was in December, and I went and I found out I was a little low in iron. So I was given a supplement, an iron supplement, to make my body healthier. Well, how about our spiritual life? Do we need a supplement in our spiritual life? I believe most of us do. And I believe every single person here, raise your hands if you want to grow spiritually in 2020. Everybody wants to grow spiritually. Today I'm going to tell you one of those powerful ways that you can do that. We hear about spiritual growth all the time, and we have very few ways, real ways, to teach people how to do that. Today's going to change that. So St. Ignatius, went through this transformation and conversion, and he became very, very well known, and he was a great teacher and mentor for many people. And so this practice of examine works like this. He said this should be a daily practice, and he calls for it twice a day, at noon and at bedtime. And now let me just, as a caveat, because I've done this before and I've gotten away from it for a while, in 2020 I'm getting back to it. Sometimes I couldn't do noon. You know, you're at lunch in the lunchroom and it's kind of hard to do it, or wherever you are. Try to do it at noon, because you get halfway through. And so what you do is you start looking at your day, what's going on through the day. And you kind of ask yourself, with Jesus sitting beside you, how am I doing? How am I doing on this? And then when you get home at night, before you go to bed, and everybody can do it at night, when you get to bed, you start again going through your day, everything you can remember about your day, and you start asking yourself, did I do that right? Could I have done that better? And sometimes we can justify anything we say. We got some mean guy that we work with, and we go, yeah, I told him today, and then Jesus taps on your shoulder and kind of whispers, how else could you have done that? Through my eyes. And then you determine that when you go in the next day, that you should handle that situation differently. You starting to see what I'm talking about? And this is powerful, because you go throughout your entire day, and before you go to sleep, you're going to have some good things that you patted yourself about, and the whole thing is done in grace. There is no trying to make us feel bad. It's a way of adjusting our course. When we were on our boat, we would start going one way and the wind would take us another way. Well, Scott would adjust the sails, and we would kind of get back on our course. Well, the same thing that is with this practice of examine. It helps us to get back on course so we can spiritually grow. Because what we do as people every single day is we tell ourselves what we think we should do and what we think we should act, and we pat ourselves on the back when we do things we think is good and helps us, particularly in our jobs, to do something great. And we're always trying to reach the next goal, and that's not at all what examine is about. It's about who we are as people. It's about how we act. It's about how we become more like Christ. That's why we're here on this earth. And all the other stuff is part of it too. But if we are hurting people while we were trying to build our companies or do whatever, and if we are rude and crude during that time and just trying to get people back, then that is not at all what Christ is calling us to do. And so at night, particularly when we're there with our God, we have a chance to change that. Now, Monday is Martin Luther King Day. So as we examine our lives, as we should ask the question, how is our race relations? What do we think about the other races? Do we have a little strain of racism in us? Are we still one of those people who kind of sneer and look down on the other races? Or have we really improved with this? Almost all of us could use improvement. And so that is one place where I implore you to go out and really look at yourself. How can I improve? Because this country has come a long way, but there's a long way to go. And we need to be that kind of person, because Jesus is sitting beside us and we're talking about and thinking about our race relations. And we see some homeless person say, you know, why don't they just get a job? I'm so sick of seeing them on the street. What do you think Jesus would say? Sitting there with you, and this whole thing is with Jesus. Jesus would say, the man has a mental problem, mental issue. Help the person. Don't judge the person. And so we learn that about ourselves. Maybe I'm a little too judgmental. So the next time, we do a little less of that. And so we start becoming little by little more like Christ, because Christ is involved in our consciousness. And this whole thing is about our consciousness. It's about our thoughts. And so God can be in our consciousness. And so when we are there asking the questions of our life, it is always God and the Holy Spirit kind of bubbling up. Sometimes you may not have an answer to a question, so you come back to it. But examining is a form of prayer and meditation. While we were on vacation, we played a game called, what was it called? Vermilis? Okay, close enough, on the boat. And the game was a series of cards that asked questions of our past and our present and our future. And it was really a cool game, and it was really a way of examining ourselves and our relationships. And one of the cards said, pick a number between 1 and 10, 10 being the best grade for your last year. And so we thought about what that was for ourselves, but then you had to guess what the other person is, and like the third person to the left, what theirs was. So it was a really interesting way of trying to decide what that person was going through, and for them to decide and to examine themselves. But the spiritual practice of exam is more God-centered than that. This was people-centered, and it was actually a very fun way of looking at each other's lives, and it prompted really good conversation. But this examine is God-centered. Ignatius made the practice of examining our lives a daily spiritual practice, again, similar to how Jesus and Paul did. And when we go through our day in conversations, God is part of the process throughout this entire process. So this is one of the texts that tells us that we need to continually do this. Is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? So we're tapping into that. Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. And from the Old Testament, very similar, Lamentation says, let us examine and test our ways and turn back to the Lord. So that's what we're doing when we do this process. We're turning back to the Lord. We're learning to be more Christ-like. And it is a beautiful way of connecting with God. And again, it's all through grace. And it has five main sections or questions to ask yourself and God, and here they are. It's in a nutshell. Ask God for guidance and light. So you ask God for guidance as you go through the day and you start thinking of all your encounters during the day and who you spoke to in the hall, who you smiled at, who you didn't smile at, who you might have been a little rude to, or who you were nice to. You take all that into consideration. But gratitude is the main feature of the practice of examine. Being grateful. No matter how messy your day is, no matter what has gone down, there should be something in it that you're grateful for. So you're going through and you're reviewing your day and you carefully look back on the day just completed, being guided by the Holy Spirit. How did you do? And you ask yourself, how did you do? It's not a painful process. Sometimes you go, you know what? I should have spoken to them. I didn't even look them in the eye. We haven't been talking much lately. The guy in the suit that sometimes I call a rat. We don't talk much, and I didn't even look at him this morning. But he deserves it because he's so darn mean. And I get a nudge. What else could you have done? What should you do as a witness of Jesus Christ? What should you do differently? Well, maybe I should start turning around and looking him in the eye and saying, good morning, with a smile. Maybe I should try that, because that'd probably be more Christ-like. So the next morning I come in and I just don't want to do it. But I know I have to. And so I turn around and say, good morning. Just like a knife in my stomach. And he goes, good morning. And the whole day goes better. Whole different thing. We talk more with each other. I did my part, and that's all we can do. It was Christ-like. And being Christ-like is not always easy, but as soon as you do it, Christ gives you this grace, and you just feel better. You know that you did the right thing. It's more loving. It's kinder. It's bigger. It's so low to not look at people and ignore them and call them rats in a suit. So this is how it works. Every day, carefully go through your day. What did you do right? Maybe you said something to somebody. Maybe you said something to your child, and you could see his face light up, and you could see that he was encouraged. That could have been the best thing you did all day. And so you talk to yourself about that, and I said, I think I got that right. So you reviewed the day. First, you give thanks. You ask for guidance. Then you give thanks and you're grateful. And you find out what you're grateful for that day. It could be any number of things. You know, when we were on our trip, there was this pelican that kept flying around. We just loved watching this pelican. And that day, I was grateful for the pelican because I don't see a pelican very often at all. And it kept diving down and getting a fish. And it was so much fun to watch, and it was a blessing. And many times, nature will do that. It helps us to connect with God because God made all these wonderful, beautiful creatures. So what you're grateful for doesn't have to be a huge thing, but there should be gratitude through this process. So you review the day, carefully look back. Then you face your shortcomings again with grace. You're going to have shortcomings, and the whole point is that you don't want to let them go by. You want to improve yourself. So you do just what I was saying before. You look at your day. How could I improve it? Was it Christ-like? How can I make it better? And then you look toward the day to come. And you ask God to bless the day to come and to bless you during that process. That's it. The hard part is to do it every day. And it's really not that hard once you do it 3 or 4 times, it's not that bad, particularly at night. So as you are about to fall asleep, just you and God, some people say they just picture Jesus sitting on the couch beside them. You go through this process. When did I give and receive the most love today? Is one of the questions I'll ask. When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give to others the most? And what was the most life-giving part of my day? And what was the most life-taking part of my day? Good questions. What gave you life today? Maybe it was when you were, I don't know of anything that gave me life. Maybe you were going home and you heard a song you haven't heard a long time, and you turned it up and you were on stage singing and you sang it. And that was the highlight. You go, God, I love, I love that music. I love music. It was life-giving. You should play more music. Well, what was it that took the life out of you? Maybe you went to a meeting and there was a lot of dissension and there were some arguments and you could just feel it and everybody left there feeling kind of icky. And so you thought to yourself, next time I do a meeting, and this is truth and I try to remember this, but I don't always get it right, is if you start a meeting with positive spirits, positive comments, complimenting people, and you start a meeting like that, it's typically how a meeting goes. If you let a meeting start off, and somebody else sometimes will do it, start off by negative, 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 you're done. So that's part of examining those meetings and those situations. How can you make things better, more Christ-like? And also we need to examine our worship. We need to examine church. We need to examine what a Christian church, anybody who goes to church, needs to examine their worship life. Ask yourself, how much did you attend last year, Water Christian Church? How much did you serve? How much did you give to help support Christ's church? And if you missed, did you try to catch up, knowing the church still needs that money? Is worship and church really a priority? Do you try and plan time off on the second and fourth Sunday instead of the first and third? I know some that do. And do you invite anyone to church? We're going to be talking a lot more about this. Because this place is the place Jesus gave us. This is not Pat Hardaway's home. I'm not making a bunch of money up here. This is Jesus Christ's place that we have been given to be a witness. And we should take it real seriously. What would it be like for you if Water Christian went away in 2020? We should all ask ourselves that. And examine what we can do better individually for this church or wherever you go. And as you practice the act of examining, ask yourself, what can I do for my church this year? What can I do for Christ's church this year that I didn't do so much last year? Examine that. For the 7 years we have been at church, we have always put the offering in the bank for a rainy day. And I'm so grateful we did that because it's a rainy day at Water Christian Church. No need to run out the door, but it's a rainy day. And I'm so glad that I put that money away. We've had people that have left this world that if their last dime they were going to give to this church. And we need to develop that sense of loyalty to the church. But it's a rainy day, but that's okay. We can turn that around, but we need to examine it and not take it for granted. And as I've always been told, some of our closest friends can come from the church, lifelong friends. And I know that that's going to be the case with many people here for me already. Lifelong friends, and that is so important. My closing story, I found out while flying back from vacation, a lifelong friend, David Castle. Anybody know David Castle? I didn't think so. He died. Old friend, I hadn't heard from him in probably 4 or 5 months. But his family and my family were incredibly close. His father was associate minister at Lindenwood years ago, and his family and my family were like this. We spent all of our Thanksgiving, all the holidays together. We loved each other. And 50 years later, after his father died and they had moved off to California, 50 years later, we still kept up because we had the love of Christ and the church bringing us together through all those years. And his mother, Vera, was my mother's best friend. She even came to visit Water a while back when we were at Lichterman. Anybody remember that? She was a little lady and she was about like this. They didn't want her to come because she was so senile and she was on a walker. But my mother said, I want her to bring her here. And she can't afford it. So I'm a flyer here. And I said, Mother, that's awfully generous of you. She said, not only am I going to fly her here, when she gets here, I'm going to have a full-time caregiver to take care of her and one for me, because I don't want to worry about anything and I want to have a good time. All of us knew it would be the last time they were together. And so I was kind of thinking about all these things as I was reflecting on it. And I sat with Jesus and reflected and became so grateful for this lifelong relationship that we'd had with this family, deep relationship. And though it hurt me and I grieved, I knew that I was supposed to be grateful. And I was so grateful, but the thing that I was most grateful for was the music they gave me. Because Miss Castle was our choir director, and she'd get up and she taught us all how to sing. I didn't know how to sing, all how to sing, and she really liked the sound of music. She got in a little bit of trouble because she had us all sing the Sound of Music on the side. You know all the words, one of my favorite movies of all time, and I think of her. But then David, the father was a minister, and I grew up to be a minister, but his mother was a musician. So David was a musician and a songwriter. He moved to LA, he did really well, he made good money, he introduced me to some, you know, people that you might have heard of, the Monkees. And I stayed with him for a few months and we've stayed very, very close. And even though I haven't seen him in many, many years, I really, really miss him, and I'll miss his family, and I'll miss our families catching up. And I realize there's no more Castles anymore. They've been such a big part of my life. And I examined that. And did you know that as soon as that two-week visit was over and they had a ball, Miss Castle died 3 months later, my mother 5 months later, and Laura, who hung out with them, about 7 months later. They all died within a year. And I was grateful that they had that time together. And God's message as I examined our relationship was, well done. That is how you treat people. You keep up with them. You stay with them. You help them out. And it came to me what God really wanted me to know. Don't ever miss an opportunity to love in the fullest, even if you have to splurge. Amen.